Good evening, everyone. I'm Lynor Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. The reach of technological innovation continues to grow every day, changing all industries as it evolves. In healthcare, technology is increasingly playing a role in almost all processes, from patient registration to data monitoring, from lab tests to self-care tools. Devices like smartphones and tablets are starting to replace conventional monitoring and record systems. On today's program, we will discuss how new technology is contributing to improving health globally. Joining us via phone from Baltimore, Maryland, is Graham Dodge, CEO of SeekWeather, a technology company dedicated to mapping disease outbreak on the dot, among other things. Mr. Dodge, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Lynor. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. We are also joined via phone from Kampala, Uganda, by Margaret Nanyombi. She, along with others, a few other young women, have created the BV Kit to help women's reproductive health. Margaret, welcome to the show.
Thank you for joining us
from Kampala. Now, let me remind our listeners that if you'd like to join us, you can give us a call at 202-261. We will remind you the number in a few minutes, but you can email us your questions and comments at facebook.com/VOA Health Chat or email healthchat@voanews.com. And we will start our discussion shortly, but first, take a listen at this report.
A smartphone, a really smartphone, that will be able to diagnose malaria. Engineers at Texas A&M University are developing a device that attaches to a smartphone and converts it into a sophisticated microscope. Here's Texas A&M's Richard Coate.
The way they diagnose malaria now is with a microscope, but it's a big benchtop microscope, and you have to have the facilities for that scope. So basically what we're taking is that gold standard and making it into a portable device.
The device uses polarized light on a blood sample to detect malaria parasites, and a diagnosis takes just minutes using a phone app. Some 214 million people got malaria in 2015, killing over 400,000, most of those in sub-Saharan Africa. The cost of the device will be under $50, according to the developers. For VOA's What's New, I'm Todd Grosshans.
And again, thanks to our guests, Margaret and Graham. Let me start with you, Graham. You heard this short report. It seems like technology is moving so fast. We heard about a diagnosis tool for malaria. And you, on your end, your company is working on mapping diseases. Can you tell us what is your reaction to how technology is evolving these days?
Well, certainly no surprise to see it moving in this direction. And even yesterday, Apple announced the Care Kit extension for Research Kit, which allows people to really connect with their doctors and receive continued sort of monitoring for their treatment. So it's certainly enabling a lot more with what people call the quantified health, quantified care of ourselves in everyday life. For us at SeekWeather, what we're doing is essentially tapping into social media and sort of anecdotal conversations about people sharing their symptoms on whether it's Twitter or Facebook. And we're using essentially an emerging artificial intelligence process now that identifies correctly when people are talking about symptoms and categorizes those into illnesses and lets us for the first time ever really track the spread of illness in real time.
Very interesting. Now, Margaret, you are in Uganda and you are really tapping into this new global trend, which is new technology apps, and things are moving so fast. Sometimes I can't even keep up. Tell us how you feel about this.
From Kampala, I feel like the tech sector is not exactly funded. There are so many innovations in the ecosystem, but most of us don't have enough funds to actually get us from the ecosystem to actual products that can be used by people who are affected by these situations. So that's basically my opinion. But I believe tech is growing. Everyone is getting out there. mm-hmm. very good opportunity to talk to it.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time in times in technology. Now, Graham, you are you have this your company have this app that provides real time disease surveillance and forecast for more than 23 different symptoms and illnesses. Can you tell us about some of these illnesses and symptoms and how this comes to play?
Sure. Well, it's everything really from allergies to whooping cough and soon Zika as well. And, you know, again, we're using anecdotal information. It's either crowdsourced from our own users of our app. So anyone can download the Sick Weather app for free, and then they can use that to get real-time sick zone alerts. So as they enter an area where other people have recently reported influenza or whooping cough or, asthma symptoms, they can get notified of that activity and then, take that information to make smarter decisions for themselves. Uh-huh. And we also provide a sick score, which is like a threat index level of just how contagious an illness, an area is based on the types of illnesses that are being reported in that area.
So who can use this tool?
It's really the idea for it started off. I mean, I was a dad with a newborn baby in the house, and I had a stomach virus, or it was food poisoning. I didn't know. And I just want to know if I was contagious or not, whether I should, sequester myself away from my, my baby. And there was no information available online or from my local public health department about what illnesses were actually going around in my area, let alone in real time. Uh-huh. So my initial thought was more about how this could be something that, anyone could use, whether you're a parent with, kids or someone caring with someone with a compromised immune system. And the idea is that we're just giving you this intelligence that wasn't available before, kind of like if you were to know that it's going to rain today, what would you do differently? In the same way, if you know that you're entering an area where flu is on the rise, what are you going to do differently? And how might that actually help you, prevent from getting sick?
Mm, very interesting. So everyone can use it. Now, Margaret, let me come to you. Your project is the BV kit, which is a test kit to detect harmful bacteria and other infections in women. Tell us about that and why it was important to start.
Now, first of all, eco-services is really expensive. I personally tried to take a test sometime earlier this year, and it cost me about $180,000, which is money for a normal Ugandan city. So we made it in a way that people wait wasn't to be able to go and test. Someone can get maybe a rush, then it comes, it goes away, but they don't know the fact that the rush is there. There's already something wrong. So they wait until maybe it gets so bad, then that's when they go and seek medical attention. And then others compare signs and symptoms, and then they self-diagnose, which is not exactly a good thing. So we made the BV kit in a way that people can test themselves at home, compare with possible signs and symptoms, then if it becomes so bad, it advises them to go and see a doctor. Like, it shows you your current location, then it can show you the nearest doctor, so you can go and get medication instead of waiting until things are so bad to be able to go and take the test.
So basically, you were trying to solve a solution for yourself as well, and for other women.
Also, every woman from the 18 to even 59 years old are sexually active, because women have bacteria, but there's harmful bacteria, and then there's bacteria that's okay to stay in the body. So the harmful bacteria can stay there, and according to some research by the Center for Disease Control, about 83% of the women that the research was carried out on and the test for bacterial vaginosis, 83% didn't show signs and symptoms, which is not a good thing. Mm. So if people don't see the signs and symptoms, they don't even know they have the infection. So we made the kit in a way that whether things seem normal, you can test yourself regularly so that you don't wait when it gets so bad to be able to seek medical attention.
Okay, that's very interesting there. And Graham, when we look at your app, which is really about disease surveillance, and this went from a personal experience, I find it interesting that in both cases you wanted to resolve a problem that to some extent is personal, or could be personal for you. Clearly, it was your sickness. Now, how is this app helping in surveillance globally? When you look at the way, for example, with the Zika outbreak, how could this app have helped, or how is it helping currently?
Well, one of the things that we're starting to do, and is the real big push behind our emerging artificial intelligence, is to be able to forecast the spread of illness. And in this case, this year, we were able to forecast flu season here in the U.S. up to 15 weeks in advance, meaning we actually knew that flu was going to peak in the U.S. in mid-March, about 15 weeks prior to that actually happening. And that came to pass. And so we got some you know, some publicity out of that, because we were able to accurately identify the peak of flu season when others were showing that it was going to be one of the lowest flu seasons, or at least active flu seasons of the year. So the implications of that are pretty huge, you know, not only to the general population and understanding, you know, how to prepare and when to prepare and where to prepare for an outbreak, but also to the businesses that provide medical services and products to those same people. So that's the thing. That's what's been sort of top of mind for us recently, is the forecast and figuring out how those forecasts can help a population be better prepared.
And what would you say specifically does a new technology in general, the app you created, or even let's keep it to new technology in general, what does it offer to disease surveillance that did not exist before?
Well, one of the things I often think about is social media and how, you know, if it wasn't for social media in our case, we wouldn't have a real-time source of information to be able to understand the spread of illness in real time, let alone start building predictive models on top of them. So if it wasn't for the advent of social media, you know, gosh, 10 years ago or so, or more now, getting us providing that foundation for new technology to build on top of, you know, we wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be talking about sick weather, but that's sort of the process, right? As new technologies create the foundation for the next technology, it's really interesting and exciting to kind of see where we're going to go from here. And I think what we're seeing also now is with the advent of the ubiquity of smartphones. You know, and that's what the report earlier was about, with that new microscope. You know, the smartphones themselves provide a whole new foundation to build up, you know, even more interesting technology on top of that.
And Margaret, tell us about your kit. Can you give us some details in terms of what is part of this kit? What is needed? Is a cell phone needed? And what do women get in this kit?
Basically, the BV kit is a software and hardware. The software communicates to the hardware using Bluetooth. So all the woman has to do is collect a urine sample, then place the hardware in the urine sample. The urine sample will pick values and send them to the phone application. Then the application will give you a diagnostics of whether you're sick or not. Then if you're sick, it can advise you to see a doctor. Then if you're so sick, it advises to see a doctor. And then if you have a mild infection, it will give you home remedies of how you can stay healthy. But you have to first compare with the signs and symptoms. Then after comparing the signs and symptoms, then it advises you to go and see a doctor. Basically, it's you check for status of your health, your reproductive health, and then you can go and see a doctor instead of waiting for a whole long process of until it gets so bad to be able to see a doctor.
Okay. And Graham and Margaret, we're going to take a very short break. And when we come back, we will continue. We have questions for you from a couple of our listeners. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break. Now the news with Sanusi Diallo.
A yellow fever outbreak in Angola has killed 158 people, up from 50 a month ago. The World Health Organization reports that the outbreak has now spread to 7 other provinces, as well as to Democratic Republic of Congo and Kenya. WHO is calling for a large-scale vaccination campaign to stop the spread of the disease that began late last year. Angola health officials said there has also been an increase in malaria, cholera, and chronic diarrhea in Luanda and other cities, partly due to a breakdown in sanitation services and rubbish collection. A U.S. study found that women may have a longer life expectancy than men, but they are spending more of their golden years living with disabilities. Researchers analyzed study of people 65 and older enrolled in Medicare, the U.S. health program for the elderly. The study asked how often disability kept people from fully participating in daily activities and then followed them over time to see how long they live. They looked at data from 1982, 2004, and 2011. The World Health Organization has called on Friday for pilot project to test the two experimental ways to curb Zika-carrying mosquito. This includes testing the release of genetically modified insects and bacteria that stop the eggs hatching. Zika virus, which is sweeping through the Americas, is transmitted primarily by the Aedes aegypti mosquito, which the UN health body has described as an opportunistic and tenacious menace. And that's a wrap-up for the latest health news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, today we are discussing new technology and health. And our guest, Graham Dodge, CEO of SickWeather, a tech company that works at mapping diseases and of disease outbreak and forecast. And our other guest is Margaret Nanyombi, who created the BV kit to help women's reproductive health. Now, we have a question from Amy Margaret, and she's in Liberia. She would like to know, where is the kit available?
Currently, we're still testing the hardware. The recent tests we've been doing have been giving us a 65%. So if you can get it to at least 95%, then we can roll out. 95% is safe to use. So we're still working on the hardware, looking for money here and there, then we can implement and then deliver. But the software is going to be absolutely free for individual users and then for purchase.
So what are your projections in terms of when this might be available? Do you have an idea, or does it depend on if you get the money, or what is it?
Yeah, it will depend on if we get the money, because most of the work we've been doing has been from individual pocket money. I'm currently a student, so if I can manage to save some money, I put it aside and give it to the project to another level. So if we can get more money, then we probably have it out even in the next 2 months.
Okay. So let me correct something. I say if you get the money, I will say when you get the money, because we hope that you do. This is such a great project that we really hope that you get the money and soon, as a matter of fact. So Graham, when you look at the upcoming Olympics in Brazil and the way Zika virus has been worrying many, many people, how can SickWeather Group help?
Well, certainly, as you know, preparations for the Olympics get closer to the Olympics in Rio, we are able to help those people that are traveling to these regions to understand what the actual risk threat level of Zika will be, so they can, you know, have either some sort of confidence in how they are preparing themselves, you know, for, you know, prevention and you know, what are they wearing to keep mosquitoes from biting them. You know, these sorts of things are all steps that you could take to mitigate the risk of infection. But that's something that we're still working on, you know, and unfortunately, it's just not, we're not quite there yet to be able to speak really intelligently on exactly, you know, even what the expectation will be yet for our Zika surveillance capabilities. Because right now there's a lot of hysteria about it, and that's causing a lot of noise in social media, which is, you know, as you know, our main platform by which we're conducting our surveillance. So, you know, reducing that signal to noise ratio is the challenge that we've taken on, and we're working on it right now. And, you know, certainly that's you know, our goal is to have that in place in time for the Olympics.
Okay. And Peter in Kenya says, if anyone can report a disease with your app, do you worry about accuracy? So how do you ensure that what you're collecting is accurate, Graham?
So everything that we collect is weighted against the larger data set. So if there is an errant report here and there that does not offset the trend, so we collect about 6 million reports every month. And even if somebody's misdiagnosing themselves or intentionally trying to vandalize the data set, that has never created a large enough spike to offset the overall trends.
Mm-hmm. Now, Margaret, when you look at the way women's health is being addressed currently, and you came up with this idea with your friends, to what extent do you see the impact of this kit in your country and even beyond your the boundaries of your country?
In my country, most of the feedback we've been getting is this might turn out expensive, and because Uganda is a developing country, not so many people can actually afford smartphones. So in my country, if we get enough money to put the product out there and probably save some more, we want to put up kiosks in the rural areas so that women can get awareness and free testing services. Then worldwide, we hope to reach as many women as possible, even partner with NGOs, probably like the UN, that can help us reach those other countries that where people really need to get information about bacterial vaginosis, because it's a very sensitive issue and it doesn't show signs and symptoms. And actually, some of the things that happen are like women can get women who could be having bacterial vaginosis are susceptible to the HPV virus that causes cervical cancer. Then it can also cause miscarriages. So people need to know about the existence of bacterial vaginosis, especially because it doesn't show signs and symptoms in so many people. So if we can reach as many women as we can, it would be a good thing.
So how does it show in the test kit? What is the indication that woman has that virus, that bacteria?
The number we're using right now, we're carrying out the test using our pH. So if the pH is relative to a normal urine pH level, then the person can know. Then if it goes way below or way above the level of the pH of the urine sample, then the person compares the signs and symptoms so that they can know whether they are healthy or not.
Okay. Graham, can you tell us about the process? Once you've collected this data, what happened next? Do you work with public health officials? Who do these data go to?
Well, we actually are just now starting to be invited more into those public health conversations with organizations like the CDC. And that's mostly going to be related to the forecasts that we're able to provide. So, the predictive modeling on top of the real-time surveillance that we're doing. So in which case, it'll likely be in the capacity of letting other nonprofit organizations that are responding to outbreaks in areas or epidemics to let them know where and when to expect those to occur so that they can be better prepared, whether it's from a staffing perspective, you know, having enough people on staff, or whether it's from a supply chain perspective, you know, having enough medical supplies in place for that outbreak.
Okay. And Margaret, now Caroline in Tanzania wants to know, can other diseases be detected with your kit?
The other diseases, the other infections that concern the reproductive health will come in with the accuracy. If we can get the accuracy to at least 95%, then we shall see how to incorporate other infections that concern the woman's reproductive health. But for now, it's just bacterial vaginosis.
Okay. And how common is that in Uganda, do you know? Do you have statistics?
Yes, we've been working with a few medical health centers. So far, there's a survey that was carried out in there's a survey that was carried out in northern Uganda in Rakai district, and 38.5% of the married women actually had bacterial vaginosis, and the results showed that they had been living with it for at least 6 to 7 years within their marriage. So when you look at those statistics, and then we also worked with the May Medical Center, and they advise us that, okay, at least in a week, they get about 20 to 30 women testing for infections concerning their reproductive health. So those are basically some of the statistics they're working with to know how bad it gets. And for those who go and test, so far it's just those 20 to 30, then what about those who actually keep quiet about it? And then those who can't afford to actually go and get tested, because it's quite a process. Like booking the doctor's appointment, then taking the after test, then getting the after medication, it's quite expensive.
Okay. And Graham, to what extent do you see people using your app? What has been the reaction like?
Well, it's been overwhelmingly positive. We've had about 200,000 downloads to date so far, mostly in the U.S. That's where we've been sort of focused on surveillance, but we do offer surveillance outside the U.S. in terms of tracking in English outside the U.S. We haven't localized in other languages yet, but once we do that, we'll have a lot more surveillance capabilities in other countries. But one example was from a mom who thanked us because she had received a strep throat alert from us, as she was driving to work one day, and she saw that it said that she had entered a strep throat sick zone for strep throat. She didn't think anything of it, but the next morning her son woke up with a high fever, and he didn't have a sore throat, which is the other part of the story. So she didn't. So she had no reason to think that he had strep throat other than sick weather's alert. So she took him in to get a throat culture, and he tested positive for strep, which meant she was able to get him on antibiotics sooner so he could go back to school, and in this case, so she could go back to work. So that was, one of the best examples and testimonials we've received so far.
Okay, and tell us how people can have access to your app.
Well, you can either go to sickweather.com and download it from there, but it's available for free in the iPhone App Store and in the Google Play Android Store.
And Margaret, how can we find out more about what you're doing if people want to know more or support somehow with ideas or other things?
So far, we have some social media platforms available. There's one called DVKit, that's a Facebook page. And then the Twitter handle is at herhealthuganda. And then you can also reach us via email at herhealthug@gmail.com for any updates.
Okay. Margaret Nanyombi, thank you so much for joining us from Kampala, Uganda.
Thank you for hosting us.
Great. And Graham Dodge, thank you so much. You joined us from Baltimore, not far from D.C. Thank you. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Great. And we thank our guests, Graham Dodge with Sick Weather App and Margaret Nanyombi with the BV Kit. For more on today's show, log on to our website at voanews.com/health and keep the conversation going on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu in Washington with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
stay tuned.